Welcome back to Diamond Gems. I am your host, Jacob Coates, and today we are going to be talking about the playoffs. Playoffs? Yes, the playoffs. It is that time of year. The regular season has come to an end. It has been quite some time since I have done an episode. The last one that I did was about Shohei Madness, I believe. So, yeah, quite a lot of stuff has happened since then. I put out all of this content. It was a bit draining for me, if I'm being honest. I put out all this content about how Shohei Ohtani what needed to be traded. I put out a blog about why they needed to trade him, what a possible return looked like, all of this stuff. And then the Anaheim Angels ended up not even trading Shohei Ohtani. Also, yes, I call them the Anaheim Angels. I understand that they're actually the Los Angeles Angels, but they play in Anaheim, okay? They're the fucking Anaheim Angels. Yeah, they didn't even end up trading Shohei. So, you know, they basically blew it. He's going to be a free agent now. They got nothing for him. And it's pretty much a done deal that he will not go back to Angels Stadium in the off season. So, yeah, that basically drained me. And I was like, you know what? I'm done. I literally put it out and the news came out like 2 hours later that they weren't trading him. So I got pretty annoyed and I just stepped away, took a breather. You know, there's lots of other baseball content out there that's still exciting, that kept me entertained anyways. I didn't feel the need to, you know, dump any more content into this podcast at the time. But now it is the playoffs and I have all these thoughts and, you know, ideas about what has happened over the final couple months of the season, the teams that made it, the teams that didn't make it. Just there's a ton that's gone on and I have some playoff predictions that I want to put out. So that's basically what this episode is going to be about. But before we dive into that, I think it makes sense that I look into the I go over to our Instagram here, which is Diamond Gems Podcast, and you should follow that as well as Shaped by Sports. Also, please like, subscribe, leave a kind review on whatever platform you're listening to this on. If you enjoy the podcast, if you don't, you don't have to leave a bad review. You can just leave. I would appreciate that as well. And yeah, it's with our episodes coming out kind of more sparingly than what they used to. We used to be very consistent with like every Thursday we would drop a podcast. Now I'm just kind of doing this whenever I feel like it, basically. So if you want to be notified whenever an episode comes out, it's probably more beneficial now because you don't really know when one's coming out. So you get the little alert and you can come and listen. With that said, the post that I'm referring to is our standing predictions for 2023 that we put out at the beginning of the season. We being myself, Greg, and Isaac, who are not joining me for this episode. But my God, it went bad. It was ugly. It was truly just a horrendous series of events and really bad predictions that we put together here. So with that said, like, take all of the playoff predictions I'm about to give you with a grain of salt, knowing how terrible we did with the division predictions, and really probably do not put any financial backing behind any of the things I'm about to say. But I'm just going to give you my opinions. And honestly, the logic for all of our division winners and everything that we had going into the year was none of them were really hot takes. We kind of went with what we felt, and what we felt seemed to be, for the most part, the opinions of, you know, the general analyst perspectives. Like, if you looked at the industry and what people, you know, like, I don't know, just your main voices that you get in sports analysts, most of them kind of agreed with the takes that we had. So there was just a lot of chaos that happened this season. And, you know, unfortunately, things didn't exactly go our way. But let's go through starting with the American League division winners. And let me also make a note of the time that I'm talking about this so that I can do the timestamps for you. And it gives me the perfect segue to bring up that if you want to kind of skim through this episode, you don't really care about this part. Maybe you care only about my playoff predictions. Look in the timestamps and I will tell you when my playoff predictions start and you can just skip ahead to there. But yeah, okay, so basically American League division winners, this is how our predictions went. We were 3-for-3 in the American League West. The Houston Astros, by the narrowest of margins, on the final day, ended up sealing the division. And yeah, Greg, Isaac, and I all picked the Houston Astros to win the division, and they did. So good for us. This one was kind of crazy. I definitely thought at like the midway point of the year and even getting close to the end there too, I really thought that Texas was going to take the division and make us all look bad. But I was right. You know, the Houston Astros are a absolute dynasty at this point, and I wouldn't be surprised if they have a decent playoff run here. And yeah, they won the division. They get the bye. They don't have to play in the wild card series. And this team is, as always, built for the postseason, so we'll see how they do. Now, the American League Central did not go as planned, and that is because Greg and I both picked the Guardians to win the division, as they had the year prior, and I think Greg and I both agreed that while we knew it was a very weak division, we basically thought that, they had the probably on paper the best roster, and they're kind of like, as shitty as this is going to sound now, at the time we kind of looked at them as like the Rays of the Central, where they kind of overperform what people maybe think every year. So we were back in the guards, and that did not pan out. The Minnesota Twins did win the Central, and rather handily, I might add. And I think, honestly, I feel kind of bad because I kind of recall, and you can go back and listen to the predictions episode that we did at the time, but I'm pretty sure that Greg was actually kind of leaning towards the Twins, and I may have talked him off that ledge, or at least talked him onto the Guardians team, and that did not work out for him. So if that's the case, I apologize, Greg. And then Isaac is just an absolute shambles right now. He picked the White Sox to win the division, and we all know how that ended. They were an absolute train wreck of a team, and they did not win the division. So 0-for-3 in the Central for the boys. And then here's where things get almost even more embarrassing, I would say. All three of us picked the Blue Jays, and now I for sure remember at the time that I said, we are all going to look stupid. I thought I was picking the Blue Jays as like kind of a risky take. Well, they both followed suit, and now we all look stupid because the Jays barely snuck into the playoffs with the third wild card and have not really looked like the team that we thought they were going to look like. The offense has been mid. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., who is supposed to, we were expecting to have kind of a bounce back season. Not that he had a bad year last year, but he was just kind of like just a guy, and he has been the exact same, and that has definitely hurt this team. The rotation is great, the defense is great, but the lineup just lacks so much power that they were not able to win the division. And I mean, who the hell would have predicted that the Orioles won the division? Okay, people were thinking, yeah, maybe they can sneak in with like a wild card or something. No one was expecting the Orioles to win the division. If you were, you were a liar or just a biased Baltimore fan or something. I don't know. But yeah, this one went bad too. So again, 0-for-3 in the East. I'm actually going to skip the wild card predictions because they were kind of pointless anyways at the time. I really only care about the divisions. National League, the West, Greg got it right. He picked the Dodgers, and Isaac and I foolishly thought that this was going to be the year that the Padres took over. And again, we were not alone in that prediction. Obviously, you have Machado, Soto, Tatis, and Xander Bogaerts. Like, that was the best top four in baseball on paper at the beginning of the season. There was absolutely no debating that. They had a decent rotation. Blake Snell's going to win the Cy Young. Joe Musgrove is a great pitcher. I can't even remember who else they had in the rotation at this point. Darvish, I think, who's maybe been kind of shit. I don't even know what he's done. I just lost interest in the Padres once they started disappointing me. Obviously, they went on a little run, but it seemed like this team just really lacked a lot of chemistry this year, and it very much hurt them. One for three in the West. And then, again, we have another really embarrassing one this year. The Central, all three of us unanimously picked the Cardinals, and obviously that did not work out because the Cardinals didn't even make the fucking playoffs. They didn't even get a wild card spot. What was their record? I'm going to look up the record. I don't even know what it was, but they were really, really bad. And again, I feel like I have to kind of defend myself again here, where I feel like the Cardinals were, they're in a weak division. They have a solid lineup. They were good last year. I thought that they were going to take a step forward. Well, it turns out they took a giant step backwards. They came in last in the Central and ended up 71-91 behind the fucking Pirates, behind the fucking Reds, behind the Cubs. Oh, God. It was not good. I don't even know what happened here. I think industry-wide as well. People would probably say that maybe the Cardinals were the biggest negative surprise to them. They were certainly the biggest negative surprise in my mind. I did not see it coming. And yeah, what a disappointment they were. And then in the East, we didn't actually buy into the Mets hype this year, which is great because the Mets did not do well either. And we all took the Braves to win the East, so 3-for-3 there. And I think that's where I'm going to leave it for now. So let's move on to some of these teams that didn't make the cut. So like I said, we've already kind of covered it a little bit. Teams that didn't make the cut. 12:55. Just add another timestamp here for y'all. All right, the Padres. Oh, the Padres. The Padres ended up over 500, just barely, 82-80, and that was because they went on a huge tear in September, started playing well. They dug themselves out of a big hole that they were in, but it was too little, too late by the time they figured things out. They were already eliminated from the postseason, and this was quite disappointing. Like I said, the big four that they had and a decent rotation. Obviously, they had Josh Hader on the back end of the bullpen. Like, this was a really good team that seemed like they were in a good position to win. And ultimately, what seemed to fail them was that there was too many big personalities, too many guys there, and it just seemed to be more of a me thing than a team thing. And, people like to point to Manny Machado as a bit of a clubhouse cancer. And maybe that is our answer this year, that it was actually just some of those guys in there just really don't care too much about the team. Or by the time they realized, hey, we actually need to win games. We can't just go out there for ourselves and try to hit homers all the time and all that stuff. It was already too late. One of the biggest, I think second biggest payroll in baseball last season, and a failure, which is a whole other episode because, the Mets as well are in the same boat. They were the largest payroll and they also failed to make the playoffs. People had expectations of them winning the division. They finished up 74-87. That's just not going to get the job done. And yeah, it was ugly for the Mets as well. But man, we want people to spend, we want owners to spend money on the players. And when stuff like this happens, where the Padres and the Mets, who had huge budgets, fail, it really just provides validation and incentive provides validation for teams like the Rays or the Reds, teams that don't want to spend any money. It provides them validation that it doesn't really take a ton of money to win, And it kind of creates this toxic cycle of like guys not getting paid what they should, constant turnover in the lineup. It's just not how, from like a fan perspective, exactly what you want to see, I would say. And also just from an industry standpoint, like you want the superstars of the game to be paid what they deserve and what they bring in. And stuff like this is very bad for that. So it was very disappointing. The Padres and Mets were kind of both laughing stocks, I would say, of the league. And yeah, quite disappointing. Another team that was disappointing to Yankee fans was the Yankees, because they finished just over 500, fourth in the American League East, a team that obviously had postseason aspirations, and it was not so. And I'll give you the two easy reasons why: injuries and injuries again, because I talked about this at the beginning of the year. The problem for me with the Yankees last year even was that Aaron Judge carried them completely on his back. He was the reason that they went as far as they did. And, you know, it was the first season that he was like fully healthy in his career. And there was I had no doubt in my mind, unfortunately, that he probably wouldn't have the same level of health again. And that turned out to be true. He missed an awful lot of games this year. Not an awful lot, but he missed like a good chunk of time. And when the Yankees were without Aaron Judge, they were without a soul. They were absolutely terrible. And I mean, it wasn't even just him. You know, Stanton, even when he stayed on the field, was just swinging and missing at everything. Anthony Rizzo was hurt. DJ LeMahieu was a shell of his former self. Josh Donaldson obviously was a complete bust. Could have told you that was coming. And yeah, man, it was just, yeah, Aaron Judge ended up with 106 games played this year compared to 157 last year. So yeah, not great. And I mean, Aaron Judge, give him credit. Like, he still had a hell of a season for 106 games. He ended up with 37 homers, had an OPS north of 1,000. Like, the guy's an absolute animal. But the problem was he wasn't going to be there for the whole season, and the depth around him was just trash. The people that they went and picked up, even in the rotation, all injury prone. Even when he was there, like Carlos Rodon was terrible. Man, they were an absolute mess this year. I honestly am surprised they ended up over 500. But yeah, I'm really not that surprised they made it. But a lot of people were. Cardinals, I already fucking talked about them. I don't want to talk about them anymore. What a disappointment. The Mariners were very close to making the postseason, honestly, and they dealt with some major injuries as well. The fact that they lost Robbie Ray, a couple weeks into the season, like he was a big part of their rotation. They lost him. They had to piece it together with some younger guys who, give them credit, like stepped up, but it was not the same. And how many games did he start this year? One. Yeah, he got hurt in his first start. Not good. And, oh man, that sucks. It sucked for them. They also just had guys kind of filtering on and off of the injured list all season. And, you know, I'm not really surprised that they ended up, like, I thought that they might make the postseason, but I also think that the Robbie Ray loss was huge for them, especially so early on, and it really hurt them. And then also they did the same shit that they did with Diego Castillo or Kendall Graveman. I can't remember. Maybe both of those guys, actually. I think they traded Diego Castillo at one point to the Rays. Or maybe it was the other way around. I don't really remember. They got rid of Kendall Graveman at one point, who was their closer. This year, they got rid of Paul Sewald when they were in the midst of struggling really hard. And then, you know, they came back in the second half of the season and actually started playing really good baseball, but they lost some games late. And it's pretty easy to say, well, we traded our closer away. We didn't have a closer to shut things down. And that maybe cost them a playoff spot. So, disappointing season for the Mariners, but, you know, they're still a young, good core, And I think that they'll be right in the mix again next year. So at least Mariners fans have something to look forward to, unlike this final team that I'm going to talk about, which is the Los Angeles Angels, who are an absolute shit show. The actual like biggest laughing stock probably in professional sports right now. That Disney ass franchise is just in complete shambles right now. Said that they were going to go for it, went for it, failed mightily. My God, they what is their record here? Let me just check. They ended up fourth in the American League West, only because the Oakland Athletics had 112 losses. But the Angels almost lost 90 games, man. 73 and 89 to finish it out. They were absolutely horrible. It was kind of funny. They did that. They made all those big moves at the deadline, or at least what they thought were big moves. They went out. They got like Randall Grichuk. They got Luis Castillo and Ronaldo Lopez. I can't remember who else they... Oh, Hunter Renfro, maybe? Maybe they already had him. I don't really remember. But they went out and got some guys to make it look like they were going to do this postseason push. And then they just were absolutely terrible after they made those trades. And ended up putting like six guys who are pending free agents on waivers. Just like let them go to try and dump some salary, which was actually kind of an interesting thing. I feel like I don't really see that very often where teams just dump players to try and shed payroll. So that was actually kind of an interesting thing that happened this year, but also really embarrassing for the Angels that like it came to that. They are screwed going forward. It's not like they have a good farm system to, you know, give you hope for the future. Mike Trout is seemingly kind of unhappy. I mean, he's obviously unhappy that they're losing, but he has, you know, I think probably lost all faith in this Angels front office that they were going to help provide him with a winning team moving forward. So there is all sorts of rumors swirling that Mike Trout might end up being traded in the offseason. And, you know, for his sake, I hope that he is able to get out of there. It's just an ugly situation over there, and I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy to be an Angels fan right now. And luckily, I really don't know anybody that is an Angels fan. So, you know, if you're listening to this, I'm sorry. Maybe just pick like a new team for the next 10 years or however long it takes them to figure out their front office situation and get new people in there, because right now it is just simply not it. All right. What team surprised me the most this season? I have two here. I have a positive and a negative. Negative, I'm going to say Cardinals. They surprised me mightily. Already talked about the aspirations I had for them. Really embarrassed to say that they were actually they were going to be in the World Series. That's what I had them as. I thought they might go all the way this year, and they ended up last in their division. So that was pretty surprising for me personally. And then in a positive light, the Texas Rangers, they are, I guess, kind of the opposite of what you think of when you think of big budget failures, because they were actually a big budget success. You know, last year they went out, they got Marcus Semien, they got Corey Seager, and then this offseason they signed Jacob DeGrom, who obviously was only able to help them for a short period of time. But then at the deadline they go out and make a trade for Max Scherzer, and you know, they have a good squad kind of around that Seager, Semien middle infield, in guys like Adolis Garcia, Nate Lowe, you know, Jonah Heim ended up, their catcher, had a great season. Josh Young, the third baseman, the rookie third baseman, or was he a rookie this year? I don't know. He's young though. No pun intended. Josh Young had a great year as well. And I think that this was probably the biggest positive. I thought that the Rangers were going to be like an okay team, but they ended up being quite good, even if they did struggle quite a bit at the end of the season. They're dealing with a lot of injuries to their rotation as well. Both DeGrom and Scherzer get hurt. And Eovaldi, who had been an absolute stud for them, got hurt as well. But they're piecing it together. And I think that there's a lot to be optimistic about if you are a Texas Rangers fan moving forward. And yeah, it was kind of good to see that, they made all these big moves. They had been highly criticized for making all these big moves, thinking that, you were spending money for no reason. But, the complementary pieces showed up this year and turned this into a really good team. And they're fun to watch. And yeah, I like the Texas Rangers. They were a positive surprise for me this year. Also, it's good that I'm able to finally move on from having beef with the Texas Rangers as a Toronto Blue Jays fan. Obviously, some history there between those two teams, but pretty much all evaporated at this point. There's nobody remaining in Texas that was there when all of that chaos between the Jays and the Rangers ended up, starting. So I'm grown. I'm getting away from that now. And they're a fun team to watch, but not a fun team to, contend with for wild card positioning and stuff moving forward. But they have made the league better, and they're just a fun team to watch. So big fan of them, and a positive surprise. And now, without further ado, I'm going to give you our playoff predictions. And I'm not going to spend too much time on it. I feel like a lot of the teams I've already kind of talked about. The ones that I didn't touch on, I'll tell you why I maybe have them going further than maybe some people would expect. But yeah, let's get into it. Let's start in the AL Wild Card Series. Minnesota versus Toronto. I hate to do this as a Blue Jays fan, but I am actually going to take the Twins in this series if I'm being completely unbiased, setting my bias aside. The reason that I am taking the Twins in this series is because of not what the Twins necessarily have to offer, though I do think they are a respectable team. They're not anything special, but it's more of a reflection on how things have gone with the Toronto Blue Jays this year. And that is, a lot of people expecting them to win the division after the offseason that they had, and that not coming to fruition. And it really just being a struggle this year. They didn't even end up winning their way into the playoffs. They had two opportunities Friday and Saturday night to clinch. But they won on Friday. Anyways, they basically backed their way into the postseason based on Seattle losing more than, them winning. So yeah. And if you actually look it up, there's actually a stat called clutch, and the Jays by this metric are the least clutch team in Major League Baseball. They can't hit with runners in scoring position. They've been really bad at trying to move runners around on the bases. It seems like there's a lot of swing and miss at the wrong times. They have also just, in times where they have opportunities to make up ground in the standings, they really lost that. When the Jays and Rangers, I think the Jays were up a game and a half on Texas, and they had a four-game series against the Rangers and ended up getting swept in all four games of that series. Stuff like that just seemed to happen a lot this season. And for that reason, I find it really hard to get behind the Blue Jays in the postseason, because I just feel like I had been disappointed and had my hopes high and then had them let down so many times in this offseason, or in this regular season, sorry, that I just have a really hard time buying Blue Jays stock right now. And for that reason, I am unfortunately going to take Minnesota. I hope I'm wrong. Please, please, by all means, for the love of God, prove me wrong, Toronto. Go to the World Series and win the damn thing. That's obviously what I want more than anything. But for the sake of the podcast and trying to be unbiased, those are my reasons for not picking the Jays. Not really necessarily picking Minnesota, but not picking the Jays in this situation. Obviously, Minnesota has a terrible record over their last 19 games in the postseason. They are 1-18, so not so good. And I think you have to go back to like the Johan Santana days when they actually won that one game. So it's been quite a while. Yeah. not necessarily the greatest track record in the postseason, but you know what? It is a new team, a new year, and yeah. Okay, Isaac and Greg actually both picked Toronto, so I'm gonna put their notes in here of what they picked as well, but I don't have much insight into why they picked them. But yeah, Greg and Isaac both picked Toronto over Minnesota. And then we go Tampa Bay and Texas as the other AL wildcard series. I'm going to pick Tampa Bay. I just think that they, you know, they have postseason Randy Arozarena, who is the most clutch man on planet Earth when it comes to baseball. And I don't know. The Rays, they're going to be, I mean, they're in Texas, I think, aren't they? No, they're not. It'll be at Tropicana Field this series, and I don't know. Their lineup is just one of those things. It's just like the guys don't get flustered by the big moment, even if they are young guys. They're just kind of like they pick away at you. They find greasy ways to win. They play, like I don't know. I have a feeling about Tampa Bay. I don't really have that much reasoning behind it. I think also the way that Texas kind of collapsed a little bit in the second half of the season has me a little bit worried about them. I don't necessarily believe in their pitching too much now that they, you know, have some big losses there. Eovaldi hasn't been very good since he came back from injury. I mean, you got Andrew Heaney. You got Jordan Montgomery is probably the most stable presence, I think, in their rotation. And he's maybe going to be game two starter. I don't really know where he's lined up to go, but Jordan Montgomery is the only guy that I think they might be able to win a game behind. Obviously, Texas has a great offense and could show up. So I wouldn't be surprised, obviously, if Texas wins this series. But for me, I'm going to go with the do not die Rays. And Isaac also felt that same way, I guess. He picked the Tampa Bay Rays, whereas Greg picked Toronto or picked Texas. So that's actually kind of cool, though. Glad that Greg wasn't, you know, on the same page. We have some differentiation between our picks this time, which sets ourselves up to not look as stupid when it's all said and done. Let's move over to the National League Wild Card Series. I am actually going to go ahead and pick Milwaukee over Arizona. This one is kind of a no-brainer for me, honestly. Wait, is it? Hold on. I better double check that that's actually what the series is. Yeah, Brewers and Diamondbacks. I'm picking Milwaukee because and we'll see here why I have high hopes for this team all postseason long. But here's their three starters, or I guess the two, because they don't really have the third guy up yet. But it's Burns, Woodruff, and then Freddy Peralta if necessary. That is a nasty big three. They have an excellent bullpen. Arizona does not have that good of an offense as is. So to line up against those three studs in the rotation and then, you know, have a back end of a bullpen that features Devin Williams, who's the best closer in baseball in my mind. I just don't see the Diamondbacks producing enough runs in this series to overcome the Brewers. Again, the Brewers don't have a great offense either, but I think that they, you know, their pitching has been their strong suit all year. They have a decent enough offense that they can put, you know, four runs on the board, and that's enough for them to win. In contrast, the Diamondbacks are starting Fat. I don't even know how to say this guy's name. PFAADT. I've obviously heard of him because he's been starting for the D-backs this season, but I actually still don't know how to say his name. He's been like okay, but he's, you know, he's a young guy and in a big spot here. I don't have that much faith in him. It's also in Milwaukee. It's not like they have home field advantage or anything. And then obviously they have Zach Gallen for game two, I would think. Doesn't show that right now. They haven't announced the day two starters for those games. But I would think it's probably Zach Gallen and Brandon Woodruff. And in that matchup, obviously Zach Gallen is a fantastic guy. He's going to get Cy Young votes this year. Might even win it in the National League. Blake Snell obviously has something to say about that. But that'll be a great pitching matchup. But then if it goes to game three, again, like, I just don't think the D-backs have, like, what are you going to put out, Merrill Kelly out there? Like, I don't know. I don't believe in them as much. So I am going to take the Brewers. All three of us agreed that the Brewers were the pick for this one. And then in the other wild card, National League wild card game, you got the Marlins and the Phillies. And, I mean, the Marlins have surprised people this season. No one expected them to make it in. They really shouldn't have made it in, except for the fact that they have this third wild card now that allows teams that have a, what was it, like 80, did they win 82 games? 83 games? Let me check. Marlins ended up winning 84 games. I mean, Diamondbacks are the 84 as well, but still, 84 games, and you get into the postseason, kind of mediocre. The Phillies are an absolute powerhouse of a lineup, and, you know, without Sandy Alcantara in the rotation for the Marlins, I find it hard for them to go very far. Jesus Luzardo is obviously pretty solid, but he's not, like, an elite pitcher by any means. And they have Braxton Garrett lined up for their second game. Given the run that the Phillies had in the postseason last year as well, I think they're looking to come back and have some redemption here. I think this one was kind of a no-brainer for me. But, you know, stranger things have happened. But all three of us also took Philadelphia over the Marlins. So let's stay in the National League. We'll go to the National League Division Series. And two of us have the LA Dodgers, and one of us has Milwaukee. I am one of us. I am taking the Milwaukee Brewers over. Hold on, let me pull up. Just give me 1 second here. I need to check to make sure I'm not fucking things up here. Yeah, so you'll have, if Arizona and Milwaukee shakes out the way I think it will, you're going to have Milwaukee and LA in the National League Division Series. And I am going to take Milwaukee in that for the reasons I mentioned about them before. I think that their rotation is elite. I think the back end of their bullpen is elite. And I think that their offense, well, they don't really have any big names in there, is good enough that they can scrape across some good runs that are just enough to be, you know, just enough to help them win a game. And the Dodgers obviously won the division. They're a very strong team. But I kind of think that the Dodgers, like, this isn't my favorite rendition of the Los Angeles Dodgers that we've seen over the last few years. Obviously, Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman are absolute studs. Even J.D. Martinez behind them has been very good this season. But outside of those three guys, I don't love the rest of their lineup that much. Like, I don't think it's as strong and as intimidating as it has been in past years. And then on the pitching side of things, obviously they got Kirsch, but he hasn't been, you know, the greatest postseason pitcher for his career. Even obviously he's still gone all the way before he has won it. But yeah, I don't know. I just think that it's just not my favorite Dodgers team. And there's just something about this Milwaukee team that I think is really built for the postseason. And I think they could potentially overtake the Dodgers and make it to the NLCS. So that's what I'm going to take. Again, Isaac and Greg both picked the Dodgers in that scenario. And then you have Atlanta and Philly facing off. And all three of us are taking Atlanta in that series. As good as the Phillies are, as capable as they are to potentially win, you know, 3 out of 5 games and move on, I just kind of think that this Braves team is unstoppable right now. They're just an unstoppable force, and my boys tend to agree with me here. So let's go jump back over to the ALDS. I am going to go ahead. My ALDS game, like one of the matchups, would be Houston versus Minnesota. In that matchup, I will take Houston. I think that this is where Minnesota, if they do advance past the Blue Jays, this is where their run ends. I think Houston is still a very good team. They kind of fall into the same thing that I said about the Dodgers, where I don't think that this isn't like my favorite Houston team that has come from this like dynasty that they've been creating here over the last 4 or 5 years or whatever it is. I guess more than that, even, you know, 6 years. I think they won the division 6 straight years or something like that. But anyways, not my favorite of the teams. They're missing some big guys in their rotation. The back end of their bullpen is decent, but not like elite. And their lineup is good as well, very strong. So I think it's definitely enough to carry them past Minnesota and take them to the ALCS. And again, everybody here seemingly... Oh, never mind. Isaac takes Houston. But Greg thinks that Toronto, if they advance to the ALDS to face Houston, will advance past them. So there you go. Isaac and I have Houston. Greg has Toronto. In the other ALDS game, we've got, for me, Texas versus Baltimore. In that game, I will take Baltimore, or that series, sorry, I will take Baltimore. You know, the biggest thing I have doubts about with Baltimore is their rotation, and even now their bullpen, because they lost Felix Bautista. But I think that this team has proved to us that, you know, the guys in their rotation are good enough to put them in a position to win, and then the lineup carries them the rest of the way. And the strong defense that they play, they're just a fun team. They got nothing to lose. And I think that they might be Texas, who has, like I said, kind of scuffled a little bit here. Yeah. Wait, well, I fucked up then. I picked... what did I say? So I said... I definitely said at the beginning that I picked Tampa Bay. Yeah, I'm going to stand with that though. I have it. I'm looking at my postseason picture bracket here that I made, and I picked Texas over Tampa Bay, but I've changed my mind. So it'll be Tampa Bay versus Baltimore, sorry, in my other ALDS game, and I'm actually going to take Baltimore in that one still. I think maybe this is where the rotation for the Rays and their pitching isn't able to get past Baltimore. So yeah, Baltimore for me. What did Isaac and Greg pick here? Greg picked Texas. He thinks Texas will overtake Baltimore for the ALCS. Okay. Well, that leads us to our, to the ALCS. I'm all fucked up here now. All right, ALCS matchups. We have Toronto, Greg is picking. So it would be, for Greg, it would be Toronto and... Man, it'd just be so much easier if they were on the podcast with me today. Greg has Toronto versus Texas in the ALCS. And he is taking Toronto to win the ALCS. Isaac takes Houston and Baltimore, and he is taking Houston. And then I will go Baltimore versus Houston, and I am taking Baltimore. Like I said, I think they're a team of destiny. They got nothing to lose right now, and I could see them going all the way to the postseason, or to the World Series this postseason. So that's it for the ALCS. And the NLCS, I've got Milwaukee facing off with Atlanta. And yeah, for that, I'm going to have to go with Atlanta. I think that this is where Milwaukee's run comes to an end. I think that this Braves team is just unbelievable. They had five guys hit 30 home runs and then like two others that hit 20 plus. They are just such a powerhouse. It's going to be so hard to stop them. And I don't think anyone's going to. So anyways, I then have Baltimore and Atlanta in the World Series, and I take Atlanta to win it all. I think Atlanta is going to be the World Series champion. I think that their lineup is just so sick, and their rotation is solid enough that they're gonna do it. I think this is the year for them, to potentially go all the way. And let's see where we ended up for Isaac. He has, Atlanta and LA in the NLCS, and he takes Atlanta. He's got Houston, Baltimore in the ALCS. He takes Houston, so that gives you Houston versus Atlanta. And Isaac also takes Atlanta to win. And then Greg has Toronto, Texas, takes Toronto. And then Atlanta, LA, he takes LA. And Greg thinks that in a Toronto versus LA final, that the LA Dodgers will be the Kings. So there you have it. Those are our predictions for the postseason. Let's see how long this lasts because, I've said this before, but I do think baseball is one of the more unpredictable sports. Just crazy things happen all the time. Teams that you don't expect to win, like super underdogs can, go all the way. We saw last year even like the Phillies. How many games did they win? Like 82 or something? They barely made it. They were the third wild card. And then they made it all the way to the World Series. So I definitely think that, something crazy could happen. And for me, the kind of crazy thing that's going to happen is the Milwaukee Brewers potentially making it all the way to the NLCS. I guess that's kind of the craziest take that I have. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes here. Yeah, that's it. Those are my predictions. And also Greg and Isaac's predictions. I guess I will wrap this thing up by saying thank you for listening. And again, please like, subscribe, leave a kind review if you like this episode. Let me know on at Diamond Jebs Podcast or at Shaped by Sports what you think of my predictions. Am I crazy? Am I delusional? Probably. I will post also the brackets in case it got confusing. I'll post them on our Instagram tomorrow, and you can see for yourself what we had drawn up. And be sure to comment on those posts and let us know what you think. In terms of upcoming episodes, I might do like a postseason wrap up, maybe drop in an episode or two, just kind of randomly throughout the postseason. I don't really know yet. We'll see how I'm feeling. And then I actually have two stadium reviews. In the vault, I went to the Oakland Coliseum and Oracle Park this year. And I have a couple of reviews that I need to put out for that. I'll probably do that in the off season, and then just further even past the postseason here into the off season. Might want to do some free agent frenzy. So those are some things you can look forward to. Thanks again so much for listening, and we'll talk to you whenever I drop another episode. See ya.